بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلى الله عليه وسلم على سيدنا وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين ومن تبعهم باحسان الى يوم الدين وبعد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري يسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا وانفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. ابرونا. السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته. Pass around some other again, shall you? Oh, it's pretty strong too. Please, if anyone, inshallah, would like. So, alhamdulillah, we started up our Shema'il series. We're going to continue where we left off from yesterday, which is on. And if anyone again would like to join on Zoom, you can join the Zoom link, inshallah, ta'ala, so that way you can see the hadith before you, inshallah. So we left off on this amazing hadith, which we started off with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This chapter again is on the living of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And so by understanding his difficulties, we should become more grateful to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Because what you find is we become very ungrateful, even for the food and the drink that we have every day. We don't realize what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to go through, what the Sahaba radiallahu anhu had to go through. So I hope, inshallah, that this chapter really clarifies that and illuminates that for us, inshallah. So we're going over this one hadith where the Prophet actually comes out from his home. And it says he came out in a time which no one used to normally come out. In other words, he used to come maybe before Zuhr Salah, which would be very hot. And so then he goes on the road and there's no one there. But then he meets Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. When he met Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, we talked about this and said that when the Prophet asked him, say, oh Abu Bakr, what are you here for? What did you come out for? And he said, I came out to meet the Prophet ﷺ and look at his face. And I wanted to give salam to him. And we explained that the Prophet ﷺ was feeling hungry. And Abu Bakr was also feeling hungry. But Abu Bakr, because seeing the beautiful face of the Prophet ﷺ, he completely forgot his hunger. And this is what happens when you see your beloved. And this is a reminder for ourselves that from the day of judgment, 50,000 years, that subhanAllah, to see at the end of the day of judgment, you see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will make the entire time completely forgotten. This entire hardship of the dunya, when a person practices sunnah every day and every night, and they remind themselves to meet the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this life becomes very, very easy for them. So may Allah make it easy for us as well. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he does this, he meets Abu Bakr, the amazing response. Then what did they find? They find Umar radiallahu anhu. And we talked about this. And ja'a Umar, faqala ma ja'a bika ya Umar, qala al-ju'u ya Rasulullah. And so Umar radiallahu anhu is Farooq. He's more straight. And he said, when Prophet said, what brought you out of Umar? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm hungry. Ya Rasulullah, I'm hungry. And so the Prophet, he says, Wa ana qad wajadtu ba'da dhalik. The Prophet says, I'm also experiencing a little bit of this. In other words, if everyone could keep it down, inshallah, in the back. Jazakallah. Okay. So, the Prophet ﷺ, he says, I also experienced a little bit of that. So it's jais if it becomes very difficult for a person to express their hunger. If you notice, we talked about the Prophet ﷺ would go many days with eating rotten dates, ﷺ, or 2 months would go by, there'd be no fire lit in the house of the Prophet ﷺ, meaning no cooked food, and they would only be eating dates and water. It's a difficult time. But the Prophet ﷺ was very grateful to Allah. But certain times come up where it's jais now. Now you need to go and ask. The Prophet would never ask the Sahaba. You think this, if the Sahaba knew the Prophet was experiencing this, would any Sahabi let the Prophet do this in his house? Absolutely not. The Prophet would conceal his hal, the situation most of the time. So this time came up though. So the Prophet said, come with me. There's one Sahabi we can go to. Ila manzili Abil Haytham ibn Tayyihan al-Ansari. Then they go out to this house of this person named Abul Haytham. Okay. He's a very, very famous Ansari. Wa kana rajulan kathira nakhli wa shat. Why is he famous? Because he has a lot of date palms, has a lot of sheep. So the Prophet comes to his house. But he doesn't have any servants. to take care of him. So in other words, he does all the work by himself. فَلَمْ يَجِدُهُ يَجِدُهُ They didn't find him. فَقَالَ لِمْرَأَتِهِ When they came to the door, they knocked on the door and said, Where's Abu Haytham? And they said, he's not here. So then the Prophet does not enter the house. It's not jais for you to enter the house. There's only a woman inside. This is something you have to remember. That if only there are women inside, then no man is allowed to come inside. Right? That's disrespectful to the person. And it's also haram. It's not jais to do so. So the sahaba actually waiting outside. And so they said, well, wait. Aina sahibuki? وَقَالَتْ إِنْطَلَقَ يَسْتَعْذِبُ لَنَا الْمَاءِ They said, he asked, where's your husband? He's going out to get us fresh water, sweet water, right? فَلَمْ يَلْبَثُوا They didn't wait too long though. And جَاءَ أَبُو الْحَيْثَمْ Abu al-Haytham actually comes very quickly. بِقِبَّةٍ يَزْعَبُهَا He has a complete water sack that he filled up. You know, you have to go there and fill it up from the wells and bring it back, right? And so this is why, mashallah, you know, back home, generally what do you have at home to help you out? You have maids, you have servants, you know, people that will come and help you, and then you pay them a little bit of daka based on mashallah, and you give them whatever, and they're fine, right? Rupees, whatever, you give them, they go. But the thing is that it's actually mandub, it's actually recommended for a person to do their own work. And this is something that, mashallah, America kind of imposes on you, you know? Just do it out of choice, and not mashallah, you get reward. So then we tell ourselves, and this is why, mashallah, the women in this country, mashallah, they go through a lot. A lot of the difficulties, subhanAllah, taking care of everything by themselves. No one else to help them, subhanAllah. This is something you get ajr for. Abu al-Haytham is working by himself, taking care of all the day pounds, everything by himself. Look at the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu will be doing everything by himself. This is the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So in any case, فَوَضَعَهَا So then as soon as he saw the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he put it down. وَيَا ثُمَّ جَاءَ يَلْتَمِزُرُ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ He goes and hugs the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as fast as he can. وَيُفَدِّهِ بِأَبِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ He says, may my mother and father be sacrificed to Rasulullah. I'm so sorry. I made you wait even this much to not enter my house. The type of person these people are, mashallah. ثُمَّنْ طَلَقَ بِهِمْ إِلَىٰ حَدِيقَتِهِ Then he says, come with me. They all go to mashallah. He doesn't treat them at home. He says, I have a very nice place for you. So he goes out to the garden that he has. Okay, so they go out to the garden. When they go out to the garden, he lays out a carpet for them. It's the type of thing, mashallah, this person is. Then he goes and he checks one of the date palms that are around. And then he goes and he finds one and he brings it down. He yanks it down right away and he puts it down. So, and then he brings on a fajabi qinwin for wada'ahu. He brings a whole like a bunch of dates in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him and said, "أَفَرَدْتَ نَقِيتَ لَنَا مِنْ رُطَبِهِ Won't you take out the ripe dates for us? You know, won't you kind of separate them out and give us the ripe ones? Generally, when you go to like a market, what do? They give you a packet of the nice ones, if you want the ajwa dates, give you ajwa only. So he said, why did you just give us everything, right? And this is the thing. فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ He says, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want, إِنِّي أَرَدْتُ أَن تَخْتَارُ أَوْ تَخَيَّارُ مِنْ رُطَبِهِ وَبُسْرِهِ O Messenger of Allah, I don't want to separate the dates because I don't know which one you would like. So you can take the ripe ones and the ones that just recently have been grown. Take everything, dry, wet, everything. You choose whatever you want. This is called mehmandari. This is how being a good host. Because why? Because I might like something, but my guest might not like something. So I'd be like, oh no, this is exactly what I like. I like anda. Now everyone going anda. Everybody, I love eggs. So everyone going to eat eggs. No. We think what could be most appealing to the guest. And so giving them varieties and options is the best thing. That's what we're learning from this man, mashallah. Look how good his mehmat. He didn't even know there were guests coming. And he's like, I'm going to do as much as I can. So he starts off with this, فَأَكَلُوا وَشَرِبُوا مِنْ ذَلِكَ الْمَاءِ And then he brings the water and he says, here, drink the sweet water as well. So now, mashallah, they're in the shade. They're eating the dates and they're drinking the cool water. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ The Prophet says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِي The Prophet says, and by the one who has my life in his hands. He swears by Allah. He says, وَاللَّهِ by Allah. And he says, مِنَ النَّعِيمِ الَّذِي تُسْأَلُونَ عَنْهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ This is what you're having right now. This is what Allah Ta'ala will ask you about on the Day of Judgment. مِنْ ظِلٍ بَارِدْ وَرُطَبٌ طَيِّبْ وَمَاءٌ بَارِدْ That the cool shade, the good dates, and the cool cold water. This is what Allah Ta'ala will ask all of us about. This is the bare minimum. What else do we have on top of that in our houses, in our homes, and everything? If Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will ask about shade and cool water and just dates, imagine what else we have going to be a question about the Day of Judgment. Amr Radin actually, he became so startled from the words of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he actually picks up the plate that it came on, he just flips it. He says, Ya Rasulullah, we're going to be asked about all of these things? He's like, I don't even want to eat it anymore. The Prophet says, sit down. You know, everyone has a questioning. May Allah make our questioning easy for all of us. Hasibina hisaban yasira. Allah Ta'ala give us easy questioning. So then فانطلق, then Abu Haytham goes لِيَصْنَعَ لَهُمْ طَعَامًا. He says, don't worry, I didn't just bring you to my house so I can feed you kajur. That's not good enough. So then he goes and he says, I'm going to make some food. And the Prophet already knows this man what he's going to do. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَا تَذْبَحَنَّ لَنَا ذَاتَ دَرٍ. Oh, Abu Haytham, don't slaughter a milking animal for us. Because he knows, the Prophet knows that this person will go do something crazy. What he's going to do? Slaughter the one that gives him gives him milk. And if you do that, you're going to cause problems for the entire family. But this man will do it because of the love of the Prophet. The Prophet said, before you go, don't slaughter any milking animal. So he decided to slaughter a goat. Okay, and he brings it. They roast it. So roasting is very quick, right? So they just put it on the thing, and it blazes, mashallah. And they cook the entire thing together, right? And they just bring it out ready like that. SubhanAllah. Have you ever went to Arab, like dawats or things like that? They bring like the whole goat. It's not like, we do, mashallah, pieces and things like that. They give you the whole thing. It's like, just take out whatever you want. I remember I saw the guy at the end. He was just like ripping out pieces of inside. He's like, you have to take out of it. Mashallah. But that's how they, mashallah, this is closer to the sunnah of the Prophet too. فَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ هَلْ لَكَ خَادِمٌ. So the Prophet, this is how he is. This person treated him so well, fed him so good and everything. The Prophet says, do you have any servant at home? قَالَ اللَّهُ. He says, I don't have any servants, Ya Rasulullah. So the Prophet said, if there are any, he says, إِذَا أَتَانَا سَبِّيُنْ فَأْتِنَا. He says, if we get any prisoners, come to us. Maybe one of them will become a servant for you. فَأُتِيَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِرَأْسَيْنِ لَيْسَ لَمَا عَهُمَا ثَالِثٌ. The Prophet gets two prisoners. There's now a third one with him, brings two of them. فَأَتَاهُ أَبُو الْهَيْثَمْ comes. And then he says, فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He says, I have two prisoners here. اِخْتَرْ مِنْهُمَا. You choose whichever one you want. Same way you made us choose, I let you choose. In other words, just because you fed me doesn't mean, mashallah, I came to your house and I ate really good. Ha ha ha. And then we go home and then we pretend like this person doesn't exist anymore. At least bare minimum, raise your hands and dua for the person. At least we should make dua. Ya Allah, protect our family, protect our children. Ya Allah, give them afiyah. The dua of the Prophet says what? That you're supposed to say, Allahumma ta'im ma ta'amani wa sqi man saqani. Allah, feed the person who has fed me and give them drink, the one who's giving me drink. Right? That's what we're supposed to say. Right? That's Allahumma barik lahum fima razaqtahum. Allah give blessings in what the rizq did, what rizq they have, what sustenance they have. Allah forgive them, have mercy on them. This is the du'as we need to read after every mamana. Not just Jazakallah khairan, asalaamu alaikum. And then forget. So he comes, draws them, says, choose from them. Then he says, O Messenger of Allah, I'm not choosing. You choose for me. O Messenger of Allah. The Prophet of choosing is very deep. The Prophet said, this is a very important hadith. Inna al-mustashara mu'taman. The one who is, his mashwara is taken, the one whose advice is taken, opinion is taken, he's put in a place of trust. You cannot lie to the person. You have to do the best thing. He said, Ya Rasulullah, choose the best for me. And so the Prophet said, I will let you know what is the best. In other words, people come to us. Many times people come to us about proposals, a marriage proposal. And then we have to pump up our boy, make him as great as he can be. I never seen him wake up for tahajjud even once, right? Next thing you know, he's making tahajjud, salatul chash, duha, ishraq, everything. La ilaha illallah. And then what, mashallah, he makes like six figures. I think close, maybe close to seven, mashallah. And then we start lying. La ilaha illallah. It's not good. What happens? The person gets married. Then they realize this person is a total fake. It happens many times, unfortunately. Allah protect us. When you're put in the place of mashallah, you have to be honest. Right? This is the place people say, oh, I don't want to do ghibat. It's not ghibat anymore. It's about being honest. There's a bad quality, you mention the quality. The person knows what they're getting involved in, So you have to remember that. If they tell you it's not riba, you don't start saying everything you want, but just say whatever is required. Okay, I'd never seen him in the masjid except for Jummah. It's important to know that. People should know that, right? Because the person's thinking maybe he prays masjid all the time, maybe he doesn't. So mention these things, inshallah, when the time comes. Khud hadha fa inni ra'aytu yusalli. The Prophet says, take this one, because I see him that he prays. Wastawsi bihi ma'rufa. And treat him well. The Prophet said, I see him praying, so please treat him well. So the man, like you and I, will go home like, aha, finally, I got someone to help me at home. A khadim, mashallah, finally. So he comes back to his wife and says, honey, look, mashallah, the Prophet gave us such amazing thing. And then she asked, what did the Prophet say? And he said, this is the Prophet said he prays, and he said to treat him well, right? And so he's thinking, mashallah, the Prophet is saying, mashallah, feed him well. Give him nice clothes and everything. And that's what you and I would think. But his wife, mashallah, is so understanding. She knows exactly what the Prophet wanted. فَقَالَتْ إِمْرَأَتُهُ, his wife says, يَا أَنْتَ مَا أَنْتَ بِبَالِغٍ حَقَّ مَا قَالَ فِيهِ النَّبِيُّ صلى الله عليه وسلم إِلَّا بِأَنْ تُعْتِقَهُ. You'll never, she says, oh husband, you'll never reach what the Prophet wanted you to do with him, except that you have to free him. The Prophet said, he didn't tell you to take home a person and take him and abuse him and use him and stuff. The Prophet said, no, you have to free him. So she told him this advice, and you and I would be like, no. This is a different interpretation. But he goes and says, it's exactly what you said is right. So then he says, and immediately he frees him. Then he goes to the Prophet and says, Ya Rasulullah, I freed him. The Prophet tells him something very beautiful. He says, Inna Allah lam yab'ath nabiyyan wa la khalifa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has never sent a prophet or a khalifa, anyone to rule, anyone of authority, except Allah ta'ala makes for him bitanatan, two friends. Allah makes for him two close friends. There's one friend that will ya'muruhu bil ma'ruf, will command you to do good, wa yanhau anil munkar, will forbid you from evil. This is one friend. Another friend who will spare no la ta'luhu khabala, who will not spare any effort to cause your destruction. The Prophet said you have two close friends in your life. One of them is the angel that tells you to do good things, and the other one is the shaitan that tells you to do bad things. So the Prophet says whoever is saved from the bad one, then mashallah, then he's a person who's going to be saved. Okay, now this is the way that the scholars normally interpret. They say the angel is the good one and the shaitan is the bad one. But in terms of the hadith that we just read, who is the one who gave the advice to the man? His wife. His wife was the good person in his life. And this is the thing, sometimes we ignore that speech that Allah has given us at home, but she's the best one to give us advice. And so this is the thing, if they're telling you something good, then we should listen to it. It's like, oh, yeah, I'll pray, Isha. Don't worry. My God, let me finish the football games. Come on. She's telling you something good. So we should be listening to her. So may Allah give us that tawfiq, inshallah ta'ala. We'll just cover one just short hadith about Sayyidina Sa'ad and then we'll finish up for today. So, mashallah, these are beautiful hadiths. Each one of them is amazing, mashallah. Sayyidina Sa'ad says, this story, this hadith has a big background behind it. But I'll summarize the background for everyone. Sa'ad radiallahu anhu, mashallah, near the end of his life, in the beginning, he was like the sixth person who accepted Islam. Mashallah, one of the first people, it says here, إِنِّي لَأَوَّلُ رَجِنِ أَحْرَقَ دَمًا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. I was the first one to shoot an arrow for the sake of Allah, the first one that it pierced the person's body. You know, that's how early he was in Islam. وَإِنِّي لَأَوَّلُ رَجِنِ رَمَى بِسَحْبٍ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. I was the first one to shoot an arrow in the path of Allah. لَقَدَ رَأَيْتُنِي أَغْزُو فِي الْعِصَابَةِ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ مُحَمَّدٍ صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, you would see me that I would go out and fight in the amongst the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Right? أَمَّا نَأْكُلُ إِلَّا وَرَقَ الشَّجَرِ. We would not find anything to eat except for the leaves of trees. وَالْحُبْلَ. And we only could eat some berries off of a thorn tree. It would be very, very small fruits, you can imagine, right? He said, this is the type of person I was. At the end of my life, what happens? Sa'ad then becomes a governor. You know, he started off in a lot of difficulty. At the end, mashallah, now he's ruling an entire city. Umar radiallahu anhu gives him an entire city to rule. What do these people do? They start complaining about him. They take a trip from, I forgot which city Sa'ad was in, radiallahu anhu, but somewhere in Iraq area. They take a trip from there all the way to Medina to complain about Sa'ad. And say, Sa'ad is like this. He comes late for Jum'ah. And his salah is like this. And this and this and this. And all this. And they have so many complaints. Sa'ad in the hadith mentions it. So Sa'ad brought Umar and says, why are these people complaining so much about you? They're there too. Right? It's so bad. So Sa'ad says, yeah, oh Umar, such and such, such and such. And then he explains himself. He says, as for why I come late for Jum'ah. He says, I'm the only person in my house to do the work. Okay. And so in Jum'ah, I only have one pair of clothing. So I have to wash it for the day. So what am I doing? I wash it and then I wait. And what does it have to do? It has to dry. And it dries and then I come for Jum'ah. Right? Well, he said, and then they said, I come late for Isha. Again, I'm the only one doing work at home. Who else are you supposed to do the work? So I'm the one who's doing. And then he mentions all these different things. And he says, you know, they said, I don't give him my whole night. He says, my night is for Allah. You know, and all this stuff. And all these different complaints. So then he goes and tells him this thing. He said, look, do you know how much I went through in Islam? He says, to the point that the corners of my mouth were covered in ulcers. About because they're eating leaves and things like that. And he says, when one of us had to go use the bathroom, we'd come out like the bathroom of like sheep and camels. Small little droplets would come out, droppings would come out. So little we had. Now these people, Banu Asad, he says, these people, Banu Asad, ya'zuruni fid deen. They're complaining, they're reprimanding me about deen. He says, idhan lakhibtu wa khasirtu idhan wa dhalla amali. He says, if this is the case, Umar, oh Umar, I've become a total loser. I completely failed and my work is completely in loss. And so, subhanAllah, people think that we'll be safe from people complaining. If Sa'ad is being complained at, no one's going to be complaining on safe, right? Why did they hate Sa'ad? Because Sa'ad will tell them the truth. People actually hate the people that talk haq. When you talk the truth in front of people, people will not like you. It's just a fact. Why won't people like you? Because you make life difficult for them. People like living in a lie. But when you speak deen and you speak haq, mashallah, people are not going to like you. Right? If people don't like you, mashallah, that means you're successful. May Allah grant us the understanding, inshallah. There's about one or two more hadiths in this chapter, inshallah. We'll finish it up tomorrow. May Allah grant us the tawfiq, inshallah, to finish up the remaining parts of this book, inshallah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wait. Yeah. Okay.